This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on the turmoil in Europe, led, of course, by the Ukraine conflict, the counteroffensive underway, but not limited to Ukraine because of the doubts about the road ahead, especially in terms of economics. Germany is in a recession. Right now it's a shallow recession, but it's rocked the burghers. In addition, EU is not feeling confident. Rates will continue to be raised. That means that inflation remains a threat. The Ukraine conflict is almost too much to calculate. But we're going to Kyiv now because the counteroffensive is launched.
I thought we were going to Moscow.
Oh, beg pardon, Professor. I was racing past Moscow. Yes, we're going to Moscow, where there's very limited to say because we're told that the Russian forces have dug in. We're told that the Russian leadership is responsible for the breaking of the dam that flooded the Dnieper River. We're told that the Russians are prepared to fight as long as necessary to defeat the Ukrainian attack. We're told all those things, but right now, the reports from the battlefield via London is that Ukraine is successful in the probing attacks in Donetsk province, and that the Russians are not showing a great deal of fight. Some of their units retreat well, some are in disarray. That's what we're told. So the point of view of Moscow in these hours of doubt.
Well, for Moscow, I think the story is not anymore about her campaign in Ukraine, although we do have a big question mark, which is, will Putin or somebody else realize that La Gloire is not within the grasp of Russia and that they have to make a realistic settlement in which they lose, but in which the post-war environment is favorable to them. Now, as always, the question in Russia is, who's in charge? And nobody, even the one who's in charge, ever knows. Think of Mr. Khrushchev. They never know how much longer they're going to be in charge. Even the secret police. Look at what happened to poor Mr. Beria. And it's quite clear to me that there are a number of different sort of feudatories in Russia. You have the Wagner Group. You have the Chechens, you have the actual Russian army, you have Putin, you have apparently special forces who are the ones who destroyed the dam. But Russia is a huge, resource-rich country, and she is still a mighty, mighty power. As I say, her Su-35 is a very good aircraft. So the important thing for us is whether we can convince the Russians, find the Russians who want to make a peace which involves putting Ukraine back the way it was before Mr. Putin set off on his merry pranks, but at the same time open a prospect to Russia of a genuine cooperation and a great reduction in hostility with the West, which would serve Russia's geopolitical interests and her economic interests very, very well. So I think that if I were in charge, which is not likely, my phone never rings, I would see to it that instead of having Mr. Blinken sitting by his phone waiting for Li Xiangfu or whoever, you know, these, I cannot tell you how low the educational quality is now of the current Chinese leadership. I mean, the Russians, someone like Medvedev is educated. We should stop obsessing about the fact that the Chinese won't talk to us and say, well, that's very well and good. You've got our phone number. And then we should start talking to the Russians. We should talk to them at their embassies overseas or in Europe, and we should talk to them in Russia. And we should say, look, what you have to understand is that your interest is with the West, but that if you're going to get there, you've got to really liquidate this war in a way that prevents any such war ever occurring again. We certainly have some diplomats who are capable of doing that, but what I don't think we have is the vision, the understanding that Russia is now going to be very worried if she loses in Ukraine. What happens to the 5,000 miles of Russian territory from the Urals to the Pacific? What happens to her relationship with China? What happens to her relations with other countries? We have to be able to present a kind of, we should actually have a series of them that we're ready to present, scenarios for a future for Russia which respects Russia's national pride, amor proper, and her tremendous resources and culture, and at the same time brings her so that she is at least leaning to the West. It would be a catastrophe for all involved, not least for Russia, if Russia fell into what the Chinese expect to be the inevitable outcome, namely that Russia is going to become a kind of junior partner and sort of gopher for a China that is then going to rule the world. Now, there are people in Washington who actually believe that China is going to rule the world. So I'm saying, you know, let's warm up relations with Russia. Let's drink some kvass. Let's drink some ethyl alcohol. You know, we all know how you have fun with the Russians. I don't want to go do it, but we have people who are capable of doing it.
Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, 6 Capital, 6 Points of View. We're headed to Kyiv, where the story is very straightforward. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.